passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Post Perez. It's the April 2024 edition. I am WH Park, and joining me, as always, is the Empress of Post Wrestling. It's Karen Peterson. Karen, how are you doing?
It's been a while, WH. I am doing well. Happy Post WrestleMania. Yeah, well, are you holding up well? You haven't caught in anything from all the wonderful shows you've been to?
I went to two live shows, and I watched Mania from the Airbnb. And I know several people, including our good friend Dickie Bird, were kind of jealous of like the fact that, oh, I'm not night one. I'm not freezing. I'm not stuck 2 hours trying to get out of the arena. Ooh. After Mania finished. And a bunch of the BDE boys, they said they just went to the casino nearby and just hung out there until like the crowds dissipated and they could go home without worrying about traffic and stuff like. And that. I finished Mania about an hour later. We're talking with Rich, you know, and then about an hour later, I went to bed and I didn't have to pay for an Uber with surge charges or anything like that. But hey, you know, those guys, I know a lot of those guys, like our good friend John Cena and Brain Davey, they had a good time live in both nights. And I think night two was better because it was actually not freezing in the arena. So Philadelphia, great. Great place. I had a great time. So maybe we'll just talk about that. I went to two shows, the Stardom American Dream Show at the former ECW Arena, the 2300 Arena. Hey, Karen, have you been there? Because it's a really nice place.
I have been. I've actually been to several New Japan shows at that venue, especially when New Japan Strong was at the height of its touring. I went to a couple of shows in that exact venue. However, I have never been in the men's bathroom to take a picture with the ECW mural, and it kills me that only the men's bathroom has that, because the women's bathroom deserves to have a fancy mural wall that we can all take pictures with too.
You know, it might have a mural, but you know it doesn't have doors.
Ew.
Yes. So if you need to, you know, do some private business,
there's no privacy.
No. Like, you're kind of like,
I guess that's thankfully.
I you know, didn't need to use facilities. Didn't need to use facilities, and I was just like, whoa, there's no doors here on these stalls. That's crazy.
The ladies' room does have doors.
Well, I'd hope so. Why doesn't the men? Anyways, the Stardom show. Just broad strokes. We do have a review of it. Me and Rich Fan up on the cafe, please listen to that. And as a bonus, you can hear about night one in Philadelphia, or more accurately, Springfield, Pennsylvania, as we try to survive in the motel from hell. And we survived, obviously. Both Rich and myself are fine. And I will say this. Once we decided we're not staying in this place, we were fine. But there was like 10 minutes. I was like, oh, my God. I do not even want to touch this bed. And guess what, folks? That's the only piece of fucking furniture in this room. And when it was brought up to the front desk clerk, he said, sometimes the rooms don't have rooms. And I don't even know what that means.
What does it even mean the rooms don't have furniture? It's a hotel.
They say it's a hotel. It's a death trap. But anyways, people, the Parkway Inn on Ridge Avenue, don't ever stay there, okay? It's It's a death trap. Murders, I think murders, definitely people getting shot there. Drug deals. The mayor of Springfield wanted to shut this place down, but the owner said, go ahead and try. That's, if you look this shit up on the internet, you'll see it all, like, it's crazy.
That's a lot.
Anyways, anyways, we've got the full story. If you want to know about Sneaky Pete, you want to know about the Eastern European guy asking me if he wants to kick my door in for me, you just have to go listen to the cafe. After the Stardom American Dream review that Rich and I did, you can then hear the addendum. I don't know, we haven't given a name for it. Maybe we'll just call it Some Rooms Don't Have Furniture.
The room without furniture.
Anyways, I will say this about the Stardom show, like just as an overall feeling. It was fine. I don't think it was anything special in the sense of like anything major happened or I also didn't get I got the impression, this is my impression. I can't speak for anyone else in the building, but my impression was that they had a good, the roster had a good time performing in America at one of their own branded shows. But I think they realized, oh, we now have to go do this ROH show and we have to do one of the matches, you know, basically the same. I don't know if anyone saw the ROH pay-per-view. I did not. Supercard of Honor, I did not watch it. But I saw clips of like just maybe it seemed like certain members of the roster weren't giving it their all as you know, because they weren't on a brand that they cared about versus their own brand. That's just my impression. So,
yeah, the interesting thing about the American Dream show is that it's their first show since 2019 in the United States that's a standalone show. And it comes immediately after losing notably two of the biggest names from their roster, with Julia and Utami both finishing up with the company and going freelance. And while it was great, they took a New Japan Strong or New Japan of America approach with supplementing the roster with a lot of local talent, which is great because local talent is local exposure. My frustration with it was that as much as I love the AEW talent that was featured on the Stardom card, I felt like they were given priority over the Stardom talent on their own show. And that doesn't sit well with me when I know the Stardom talent, when they go on to ROH or they go on to AEW, they're not afforded this. They're not afforded the same wins, as it were. Mm. I am curious with Toni Storm how they're finally parlaying her history as one of Stardom's most decorated foreign wrestlers into the whole Forbidden Door era, because you know according to her the Forbidden Door is always open. And tomorrow night, or I guess Collision's on Friday, right? So
it's on Saturdays.
Saturday. So
Rampage is on Fridays, I think.
Rampage is all right. So on Collision, Azumi is challenging or wrestling against Toni Storm, but in a non-title capacity. So when I guess now the thing is that when New Japan brings Stardom talent over for their shows, their Stardom talent is also going to turn around and probably work AEW should they be within the same area or in a decent traveling distance from where they're at in the country at the time.
I'm going to say with regard to Toni Storm, when she came out at the end of the show after the main event of Micah, Megan Bain, I felt she was treated as the biggest star on the show by the fans because she is an American television wrestling star now.
Yeah.
She's kudos to her. She's gotten herself over with this new character, the timeless character.
Yeah.
But when she's talking about Stardom, like this is the place that there would be no Toni Storm without Stardom, but it's like but you're doing it in character.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing it as your kayfabe character, and that's not the Toni Storm that came out of Stardom. Like,
correct,
you were more a different character when you were in Stardom. Basically, her WWE version is basically her Stardom version.
Her NXT UK version was her Stardom version. Once she got over to the main roster, it still shifted a little bit. But yeah, who she is in AEW isn't who she was fresh off the British wrestling scene slash Stardom.
Let's say the Mae Young Classic version of Toni Storm is the...
I love that version of Toni Storm so much. But I am enjoying the timeless Toni Storm. She managed to take a very... what some would say a very niche approach to women's wrestling in a modern era, but...
No, I think it's a great character. I think it's one of the most original things that AEW done, especially for their women's division. But anyways, I do feel like the match that Tony's going to do is probably her against Mina Shirakawa. And now Mina Shirakawa is doing some kind of, I don't know, angle with Mariah May where she's in love with her.
I feel like you and Rich Fan have gotten the bulk of my ire over that entire situation. I don't know why, because Mina and Mariah have fought so hard for the last few years to be taken seriously as wrestlers. Not that they're just a WWE shop girl or not just a pinup idol in Japan, that they want to prove to everyone that they're wrestlers and they're good wrestlers. I just don't understand how everything they've done in Stardom is being so rapidly unwound on AEW television with this whatever it is.
Right. I mean, I think it would be great if you can do like a same-sex romance storyline with wrestlers, whether they're men, women. But like, I don't feel that that's what they're doing with this. They're doing this to like for exploitation and titillation, and I hope to God I am proven wrong. I really do, for the sake of the people involved in this. I don't have any faith that I'm going to be proven wrong, and I certainly don't want to have a, you know, to your left moment with this. But and I won't say it, but like I just feel internally like I'm okay. 3 months down the line, pass Forbidden, you know, to Forbidden Door, pass Forbidden Door. Like if that's where this angle is leading to. That unfortunately, I think it's going to do a lot of damage to, especially I think Mina Shirakawa. You know, she's like really gotten to a point in Stardom where she is like, okay, oh, she can be one of our, you know, like flagship talents. Like she could eventually become like world Stardom champion. I just hope I'm wrong. That's all I'll say about that.
And that's the thing. It's all about the presentation of it. If they're going to try and do a same-sex relationship, that's fine. That's wonderful. The problem is that the way that they're being presented, it comes off as very highly fetishized approach to a lesbian relationship for the sake of getting, like, I've seen people say, well, no one knows who she is because she's only been on Ring of Honor, but this is a great way to get everyone's attention. I'm like, but are you paying attention to her as a wrestler? Or the fact that she just kissed a girl on TV, because there's a difference between that. And as a fan of these women, of the promotions that they've worked in, it's frustrating to watch.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I share the same sentiment. I'm not, I have little hope that this is going to turn out to be a positive thing for either of them. But, oh, but it'll draw money. No, but it's based on exploitation. And this is just like, you know, I'm sorry, but this comes across as like WCW and like Eric Bischoff era, you know, Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, you know, it felt like the late 90s, early aughts. And I'm just like,
yeah.
I mean,
we should be beyond that.
I've seen Mina do her, like, you know, psycho stalker girl in love approach when it came to Tam and it came to other women she was feuding with, whether it's for a long-term feud or for like her chasing the white belt. But it never got to the point where she was blatantly throwing herself at anyone.
No. That being said, we will return to the topic of Stardom in a little in this episode. But I just want to point out that it would be remiss of us to not mention the passing this month of legendary Japanese professional wrestler Aki Bono, who passed away at the age of 54 due to heart failure. And you know, when I hear an age like that, Karen, it scares me because I'm 51 years old. So you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to go too deep into Aki Bono's career. Like I'm pretty sure John is probably going to do a write-up. I don't know that he's said anything to me about that, but I'm pretty sure he's either going to do a write-up or he's going to mention, like go more into detail about Aki Bono's career, not only in professional wrestling, but probably his origins in sumo, his transition into both K1 and mixed martial arts, which is, if you look at his K1 and mixed martial arts career, it is maybe even more fascinating than his professional wrestling career. But real name is Chadwick Heo Ruin. He was born May 8th, 1969 in Hawaii. He joined the sport of sumo in 1988, and he made history by reaching the rank of Yokozuna, which is the highest honor you can reach in sumo wrestling. And he was the first non-Japanese person to reach that rank. And he did that in January of 1993. He would, you know, have a lot of success in sumo. He would then leave sumo, and then he tried K1. And he tried MMA, and he had like varying degrees of success, but it made him famous. You know, this is the era of pride. This is the era of the freak fight in K1. And these kinds of like, wow, let's put this guy against this guy and see how much money we make. And you know, that, I mean, one of his first fights, I think might have even been his first fight, was against Bob Sapp.
You know? Wow. Yeah.
And it outdrew Kohaku on TV. It's the first combat sport event to outdraw Kohaku on television. And if people don't know, Kohaku is like the New Year's music show.
Yeah.
The red, the white and red, you know, white versus red show that's like traditionally been the highest rated thing on New Year's Eve. But this beat it. And it drew, and I think it drew a lot of people at the Nagoya Dome in Aichi Prefecture. And this is like, and this kind of sets up his transition into professional wrestling, and he would make his debut in professional wrestling for the WWE on the March 31st, 2005 episode of SmackDown to promote a worked sumo match against the Big Show of all people. A lot of people, I think, would remember this. This would be for WrestleMania 21. So he would have a match against the jobber. Win that, he would do the match, which he would win at WrestleMania. So, and then, yeah, and then he would move on to back to Japan, and he would join All Japan Pro Wrestling in 2005, teaming with various people there. And then from there, he would join New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2006 until somewhere in 2007. So he did a year in that company, and then he would join Hustle, my least favorite promotion in the history of Japanese professional wrestling, because it wasn't wrestling, it was just comedy. People bring it like, oh, how dare you slander Hustle. Listen, I'm not a fan of the DDT, not a fan of the Hustle.
They gave us Shuri, though. They gave us Shuri and Kushida.
Did they? Oh, well, I mean, because they escaped.
They very much did escape.
They escaped that whole scene. Anyways, so he did that for about 2 years, and then he would do some dates for Dragon Gate Pro Wrestling from 2008 to 2010. He would then move on to Pro Wrestling 01 from 2009 to 2013. But during all this, he's also returned back to All Japan. All Japan was always kind of like his home base for being a wrestler, because that's, you know, like he trained with Keiji Muto. He trained also with, I believe, Riki Choshu as well. I mean, I don't know like how you can get more legendary Japanese wrestlers to train you than Muto and Choshu. But he would wrestle basically in All Japan from 2008, 2015, doing dates for a lot of other companies, like not just the ones I mentioned, but I believe he's done dates for like people like Pro Wrestling Noah and other places as well. So, and then he would leave All Japan and try to form his own group called Odo up until 2017. And I'm just gonna run down like the titles he has won in wrestling. And again, I'm pretty sure John's gonna do something more in depth, either audio or something on the site. So keep your eyes out for that for more information about the career and life of Akebono. But in All Japan, he won pretty much every major title there. He was an All Asia Tag Team Champion twice with Ryo Tohama, another former sumo wrestler. He was a Triple Crown Champion twice. He was a World Tag Team Champion twice, once with Tai Okeya and once with Yutaka Yoshie, who also unfortunately passed away recently as well. He won the Champion Carnival in 2015. and in some battle royals and the Odo tournament in 2013. In Dragon Gate, he was part of the Open the Triangle Gate championship team with Masaki Mochizuki and Don Fuji. DDT Pro Wrestling, KOD six-man tag team champion with Sanshiro Takagi and Toru Owashi. Pro Wrestling 01, NWA Intercontinental tag team champion three times, once with Shinjiro Otani, once with Daisuke Sekimoto, and once with Shogun Okamoto. He was the NWA Pan-Pacific Premium Heavyweight Champion and the 01 World Heavyweight Champion. Do you know that the 01 World Heavyweight Championship belt is the former AWA World Heavyweight Championship belt, Karen?
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
The one run over by Stan Hansen, worn by Rick Martel back in the 80s. That's like the book. The image I have of that title is the one worn by Rick Martel and Stan Hansen. And of course, Nick Bockwinkel. He's did a lot. He got Best Tag Team Award in 2005 from Tokyo Sports with Keiji Muto. And then again in 2009 with Ryota Hama, and just very, very highly decorated wrestler. And our sympathies and condolences go out to his friends and family across the world. And if you want more information, I'm sure we'll have something later on, either audio form or written on the site. But I just wanted to just say, for me, like I kind of like, you know, like I've always been aware of Akebono since the time he joined professional wrestling back in like for the WB, and then he just have a tremendous amount of success because he was such a famous celebrity in Japan. Karen, not is like very much like the Bob Sapp effect. Yeah. Like this guy, not really a trained professional wrestler, but he was IWGP World Heavyweight Champion because he was so famous, and it made kind of some business sense to like, okay, maybe if he wants to join professional wrestling, we should make him a champion in our company because maybe it'll draw money. I don't think Bob Sapp really did that much. Neither I don't think Akebono necessarily made a huge business difference. But like again, they were popular. They put eyes on the whatever company that they were wrestling for. And Akebono, I think, lasted a lot longer than Bob Sapp did. Do you have any thoughts or memories about Akebono, Karen?
Well, I mentioned this briefly when we were preparing for the show, is that like for me, I remember his name and I remember of him because during the time that you were mentioning from 2003 through 2008, that's when I was living in Japan. So the fact that they made such a big deal about him being a foreigner who not only made his way into sumo, but achieved the rank of Yokozuna. I just remember seeing him on like all these different variety shows, you know, showing off his international culture and how he's adapted to Japanese culture. And I knew that he had done wrestling, but very much like, you know, Akira Hokuto, I knew of her from Japanese variety TV. Not that I knew that she was a wrestler at a time, but I had never seen her wrestle until I went back and finally watched old matches in recent years. So it's the same thing with Akebono. I always remember them promoting him in big matches and talking about him being on this show and the show. And even, you know, talking about the Kohaku Utagasen, that's like, for everyone who doesn't understand, it's not just a countdown music show on New Year's Eve. It traditionally has all the top rated boy bands, girl bands, pop idols from across the board in Japan. Like, if you are on Kohaku, you have made it as an artist. So for his fight to outdraw a show that goes and actually counts down to midnight to celebrate New Year, it's a very big accomplishment, especially for a foreign national living and working in Japan.
That's right. And that would be, you know, both. And it's hey, both man, Bob Sapp.
Bob Sapp was another name that was very famous at the time.
And Akebono. But there you go. Well, and anyways, we'll move on from there. Let's get into the bulk of the show, Karen. We're going to start off with Stardom Notes. And I want to talk first about the wrestlers that were announced as leaving. Yep. The first one being Julia, and now we know where she's going. She's going to WWE, probably joining the NXT roster as, traditionally the post WrestleMania, you know, kind of season is where a lot of NXT talent gets called up. And I'm assuming people like Tiffany Stratton going to go up. She's already joined the main roster, but she's probably going to be leaving NXT. And and some other talents are going to be joining the WWE main roster, whether SmackDown or Raw. I think Julia is going to be slotted into the NXT Women's Championship scene very quickly. And she had, I think, really great debut at Stand and Deliver, where they put the camera. Apparently she wasn't watching a monitor, so she didn't know she was on television. And then I think maybe William Regal had to say to her, "Oh, they're cheering for you. They're excited to see you in WB." So I think great choice for her to go to WB/NXT, because say what you will about WB, they know how to book women's wrestlers there. That's my opinion. I don't know if she, and obviously they're going to give her a massive push because they have a lot of faith in her. And Paul Levesque has proven that talent he gets from Stardom, especially, he knows what he's getting, and he knows how to push them. So, and Shawn Michaels, I think, is primarily the booker over there as well. He seems to have a pretty good idea how to book the talent as well.
I had to laugh, going back like a month or so ago when Triple H was asked about Julia and the Joshi Revolution, because he's been consistently been able to catch lightning in the bottle with Asuka and Kairi and Io, and to an extent Saray had a decent run, but she didn't gel with the whole rebranding of what they were doing in NXT at the time. As somebody who has watched these women go through NXT and work their way up to WWE's main rosters of Raw and SmackDown, this is probably not only the better bet, but the safer bet, because I feel like with all the support that they have at the PC, they have the foreign, all the ESL, the English second language talent. They enroll them in English language courses. They have, they're at the PC 5 days a week with everybody they work with. So she'll be able to adapt to the style without having to worry about traveling all that much, especially if she goes into NXT before going, I don't know if they would pull an AJ Styles and just throw her onto the main roster, but I think she would be a good talent to put into NXT, especially if she gets treated like how Io and Kairi did, or how Ricochet did. Like they made a very big deal out of them, especially as they're going to probably be one who would probably, they could build the next arc of NXT programming around them. Selfishly, I am glad that this could be the possibility of where she's going. But the Triple H point photo never lies. So it's more, I think, at this point going to be a question of when she shows up, especially with all the rumors that are going around that she may or may not be involved in whatever Rossi's announcing a week from now.
Right. So. And to that effect, Utami Hayashishida is not staying with Stardom. Sakurai, Mirai, and Yuzuki are also leaving. Yep. And the safe bet would be that they are going to join Rossi Ogawa's new promotion, whatever that might be.
That's what my gut tells me, is that that would be, as much as I would love to see them all show up in WWE, I don't think Rossi going to WrestleMania and hanging out with Bull Nakano and being in the press box with everyone means that he's the secret NXT Japan pipeline. And I'm not saying that at all. With NXT working with All Japan recently, and that now that they're making this whole, WWE is, they're kicking open their own forbidden door at this point, possibly. I look at it as an opportunity for more people to learn about more wrestlers from around the world. I'm not going to be mad at it. If they try for NXT Japan, I might get mad at it. But if it's this reciprocal agreement where they give opportunities and, more importantly, better pay for people, I'm all for it. I'm just curious to see where Rossi, where the Hat Man's journey goes from here. I want to know all the details.
I think they learned their lesson with the failure of NXT UK, and they have yet to ever penetrate the Mexican Lucha Libre market. I think they're just happy to have alliances and maybe we'll send some, developmental talent to work tours of All Japan to get seasoning, and in those situations we can control the booking of it. So this guy, he can lose, but this guy we sent over can't lose. And for example, a company like All Japan, you know, the way it is now, they're not going to say no to WWE, you know, like the, for booking.
If WWE is giving the WWE money along with them.
Yeah.
And also, you know, at the Stardom show, I don't know if you had seen her in the audience, but she was backstage a lot. Natalia was there. And she had mentioned that WWE is planning to finally resume touring to Asia again, specifically in Japan in 2024. So, you know, not that it's they're establishing a foothold or anything like that, but they traditionally, before the pandemic, WWE would go there a couple of times a year, at least twice a year for big shows, not in Korakuen Hall or in the Dome, but they would have like a big show at a big venue in the area.
Yeah, they mean they did the shows. I think they did the show at Sumo Hall or Budokan. It was Sumo Hall. It was Sumo Hall, right? And I would actually think it would be great if they did some kind of show at Korakuen Hall. Because to say
put an NXT we did a show at Korakuen Hall.
Yeah, no, you know what? No, like,
do an NXT pay per view at Korakuen Hall.
Karen, I need to see WWE main roster talent. I need to see the Judgment Day. My boy Jey Uso yeeting it up in Korakuen Hall. Come on,
yeeting anyone from the balcony.
No, but he's like on the turnbuckle. He's doing the yeet. Yeah, I, you know what? I think it'd be great for talent who became famous in Japan. Like to imagine they're coming back WWE in Korakuen Hall. AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, Io, Asuka, Kairi. Like Finn Balor.
That
would be awesome. I think that'd be great. But anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Tickets for that show would like vanish in a second.
Oh no,
they'd be gone so quick.
You couldn't even like, you probably can't even get them on the
secondary standing
market.
Room only, like that dash up the stairs to the balcony. The balcony would be so full.
So like you said, Karen, like Ross Yagawa will announce next week. What he's planning to do. So we'll find out, and you know, we'll talk about it in sometime in May on the next episode of that. And I'm sure a lot of developments will happen between
if you get an actual phone call from me, I'll be like, it's happening.
Yeah. I'm excited. Like honestly, like when they announced it, like I mean, John, wait, get the Empress on you know the show to talk about her, you know, like you know, come on, Brad Thurston.
Let
Come
it be
on,
Tuesday
on.
When I'm remote, not on a day where I'm at the office, because then it gets too stressful.
So, you know, I saw Brandon at the Drink Cup in Philadelphia, and I said, hey, when am I going to be on Paul again Thursday? And I said, Rich, you've been on Paul again Thursday? He's like, three times. I'm like, hey. And then Brandon said to me,
I haven't been on Paul again Thursday, but I don't think I have anything to contribute to Paul again Thursday.
See, Brandon asked me, What can you bring to Paul Gunther's WH? I go, what can't I bring to Paul?
I mean,
he's like, he conceded.
I mean, Brandon did have me do some translation work for him at one point, so there's that.
By the way, Brandon Thurston, very dry sense of humor. I was joking with him. He's great. I love that guy. Anyways, but we're moving on. So we'll find out. And probably he's going to have some of these names that we just mentioned that are really
I feel the gravitational pull. If I were going, especially if Stardom is all you know your entire career. Like Julia has the aspect of having been in Ice Room and been in another promotion, so she knows what she needs to do. For other talent who all they know is the Stardom way, it might be easier to transition into a freelance role if they know they have some sense of stability.
Yes. I think back to what you have said to me many times since the announcement of Rossi Gao leaving, and that, you know, these wrestlers are, you know, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wrestlers who said they are leading Stardom because that's the end of their contract. Yep. That's when their contract was expiring. You have said countless times to me, well, who knows when other people's contracts are coming up and who knows if they're going to stay.
I'm just saying, Dave Meltzer is very transparent and very insistent about the fact that Mayu has to stay until her film comes out in May. Just saying, that's right. Floating out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but if this becomes very much like Okada leaving New Japan, Stardom potentially have to figure out who they are without the final daughter of Freedom and without the Icon. That could be a big power shift within the company.
Yeah, Again, there's always been a lot of rumblings about the displeasure of the schedule that the Bushiroad had put certain wrestlers on since the
I
acquisition.
have things about that schedule.
Oh,
That's,
yeah, me
that
too,
schedule
me too.
was insane. That was a WWE level of scheduling.
So we'll see maybe more. And you would have to figure, like, possibly a financial backer of this new Rossi Ogawa promotion may or may not be the WWE. Who knows? We'll see. We'll find out, right?
I made the joke, I think it was with you last time we recorded, was that, that article came out with Sanshiro Takagi, Rossi, and Shuji Ishikawa. And I said, well, what if they all work together? And then, like, literally day one, March 1st, Julia's showing up in Noah on Monday Magic, getting put on their biggest show, which is running opposite New Japan on Dontaku weekend. And I'm like, what if they start working with Pro Wrestling Noah, because Noah doesn't use Tokyo Joshi Pro's girls, they use freelancers. Or,
Yeah.
Shuji Ishikawa has his own, like, Evolution Joshi, his own very, I mean, there's literally two wrestlers and they're doing tryouts for more right now. But what if he starts working with them as well because he left All Japan? So it's this whole thing of, I feel like Rossi has a network tight enough that it could very easily, like, whatever transition period they have, it's going to be a very minimal one, if that, because he has enough, he's well, connected well enough within the country. They love the Hat Man over there. I mean, not
They do.
everybody does,
No,
obviously, but
but
I think he's loved well enough or respected well enough or smart, or, to be able to conduct business with other people.
yes. And I think my guess is a lot of the stardom wrestlers whose contracts are not up yet feel a loyalty to him because he helped shepherd their careers. We'll see. We'll see. It's an interesting time to be a stardom fan, Joshi Pro Wrestling fan. So
We had the New Japan watch for a couple of years with, Jay leaving, Osprey leaving, Okada leaving. I feel like these next 12 months are going to be critical for Stardom, especially when November, December, when the contract renewal phase comes around for the fiscal year starting in 2025.
right. So other notes from Stardom, Hanan will be challenged for the white belt April 21st at Yokohama Butai, taking on the current white belt champion, Sari Ano. What do you think? Is Sari going to retain, or will Hanan get to that next level in her career in Stardom?
The track record tends to be that the Cinderella tournament winner always goes to the white belt and they don't get it on their first shot. As much as I would love to believe that they're going to go all in on the young lioness and put the white belt on her, they recently signed Saori to a special contract where she's primarily with Stardom but is able to fulfill other obligations outside of the company. So I don't know. And they kind of leaned heavily on her when Tam was injured and Natsupoi was injured. So she kind of, like, became the de facto representative of Cosmic Angels while most of the Cosmic Angels were injured or leaving the company or joining Club Venus. So I don't know. But, if you really want to turn Stardom on its head, put the white belt on a 19-year-old. Go ahead.
Yeah,
And
I
I'll
mean
and also at the
she's like a veteran though, Nat, at
I mean,
19
she's been
too.
wrestling since she was 12 years old, so
So.
But yeah, that show also will have Momo Watanabe challenging Micah for the red belt that has eluded her for her entire career. She's gone for that belt multiple times and it has always come up short. And then Sare is going to be challenging Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP Women's Championship.
Yeah, so I'm hoping Momo gets the build.
So
She
do I.
deserves it. She
So do
deserves
I.
it.
She
She's just such a stalwart of
she's
that company.
done her time. She's
Yeah.
I don't I think they have other plans for who's gonna win the five star. And if Momo goes into the end of the if they let Momo have a monster run with that belt leading up to the end of the year, I could easily see them having Kamatani win the five star and being the one to dethrone Momo at the last show of the year
Right.
for the red
Well, we'll
belt.
see. We'll see. A lot of interesting things happening. Empress, Nexus Venus, Mika, Mina Shirakawa, Gina, beat God's Eye, Shuri, Mirai, Ami Sore for the artist's belts. Crazy Star, the newly formed tag team of Suzuki and Mei Sara, beat Utami and Saya Kamatani for the goddesses tag team title. So, you're already seeing titles getting taken off people who are leaving the company, which is Smart. And my final note for this, and you know, Julia is going to WWE. Utami is leaving, but they do still have some you know, final obligations for Stardom, and these will be fulfilled April 12th at Corkin Hall. Julia will team up with Shuri. Great. Awesome. And they will take on Mayu Iutani and Hanan. And Iutami will team with her regular tag team partner, Saya Kamitani. And they'll take on the team of Maika and Saya Ida. Small Saya. Tall Saya. Small Saya.
Small Saya.
That's right.
Super buff Saya.
That's right. She's not a tall person.
Strong.
But like, she could probably bench press like everyone at Post Wrestling, including Bruce.
Yes.
So there you go.
I'd let her bench press me.
You let her? She bench pressed you already?
I would let her pick me up and throw me across the room. I don't care.
See, if I said the same thing, Karen, I get canceled. So I'm not saying like I want to be thrown.
I will let her throw me across the room for you.
No, that's okay. Don't say it's for me. That's weird too. In fact, I don't want any wrestler picking me up and throwing me. Just as a saying. All right, let's move on. New Japan Pro Wrestling. They just had their big Sakura Genesis show on April 6th, and some of the big results, the major results from the show. We're not going to go through the whole card. If you want to hear about the whole card, Karen and my good friend Big Bruce Lord did a wonderful review for Post Wrestling that you can listen to on everywhere you listen to podcasts, including the YouTube as well, right? So
actually, a shocker there. I did a written report for Sakura Genesis.
There you go. Listen,
I did the Stardom report and I did the Sakura Genesis report. Bruce and I will be reuniting Saturday to do Windy City Riot.
Listen, Karen's like fucking like, you know, she's closing in on Andrew Thompson. And Neil Flanagan for written content over the site.
No.
Hey, youngest in charge, you better fucking watch your back, pal.
No way. I was watching the Mania Week and I was sweating with how fast they were posting things. I'm like,
Jesus.
I'm like, let me just do my crochet, man.
Hey, you know what? Hey, shout out to all everyone who contributed.
And I think Flat was another one that was just like, he was just tearing up the
post. Yeah.
Coverage last week.
Amazing.
Mania Week was outstanding. Everyone. Amazing. Did so much work, and it was so great to see everybody come together like that.
That's right.
It's like great. That week in the G1 tend to be the weeks that I don't know how everybody manages not to like lose sleep. Because
no, I don't manage not to lose sleep. I do lose sleep trying to watch
same.
These fucking shows and trying to, you know, try to be in time to do reviews with you and
too old for
whoever and Eric Marcotte and stuff like that. But hey, you know what? I look forward like next summer. Hey, John, wait, like I will do maybe two, maybe the finals. No more than that. Karen,
I have to do weekends only. I've got two orientation weeks this year. Like I was pretty much like, I don't think I can do any of it, but if it's a Saturday and Sunday shows, maybe I can do those. I don't know. And,
you know, you got to do a show. You should do a show with Eric, my man, Eric Marcotte. Okay. You got to do a show with him.
Okay.
Did you do a show with him?
No.
That'd be fun. I would like to listen to that. You and Eric reviewing. You can both share your love of Sonata on air. Clark Connors and Drilla Maloney retained the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles over Intergalactic Jet Setters and Catch 2-2 in, what was it, a three-way, was it a tornado match? I didn't watch this show, actually.
It was pretty much a tornado match because the War Dogs don't care about anything, so other than getting the belts and leaving.
Bishamon win the IWGP World Heavyweight Tag Team titles over Kenta and Chase Owens. Thank God he's no longer a champion in New Japan. And yeah, I think it's great. Just put the belts back on these fellas. And you know what? Build towards a rematch with TMDK, and then maybe Karen's wish, TMDK wish reality will come true.
Yeah.
Show retained the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title due to, unfortunately, an injury suffered by Yo. A shoulder injury, his left shoulder, I believe.
Did you see that match?
No, I did not. So, like, just describe quickly for, like, our listeners who haven't listened to your view.
Literally, the match was a minute and a half. It was a move that Yo's done countless times, just a running, sliding drop kick. But instead of tucking his arm under, he kept his arm like this. So this part of his body, his torso and his arm hit the mat, and his shoulders popped out.
Ooh.
And because he's so lean, it was very noticeable that his shoulder was out of the joint. And he tried to wrestle. The ref tried to stop him. He tried to keep going, but they called the match very quickly, which was good because, you know, trying to wrestle through something like that when you're not in a place physically to do so is more detrimental than anything else. And it quickly got turned around with poor Kosei Fujita and Doki running out, trying to be a giant distraction while the medical team, I don't know who was on New Japan World on the columns that day, but they kept cutting back to the medical team working on Yo to the point where they were almost like popping his shoulder back like in real time on camera.
Right.
That's
not something people want to see.
Sho did his best to be frustrated and be like all grumpy about it and like try to like yuck it up that you're like, oh, you couldn't even last 2 minutes with me, yada, yada, yada. But as they took, Yo walked off on his own volition afterwards, thankfully. But, you know, he started crying because he is frustrated because this obviously wasn't how it was supposed to go. And then Sho, you know, after Fujita and Doki decided they're going to have a number one's contenders match to decide who's going to take the belt off of Sho, and Doki strolled off with the belt, so Sho didn't have the belt again. Sho walked to the back, but as he was getting towards the curtain, fans took pictures of him crying. I guess he actually got so overwhelmed and frustrated by the situation that he got caught on film from the fans.
This could be the start of his babyface turn.
God, please! I don't ask for much. He's a far better babyface wrestler. I mean, I know he's doing his job and he's getting paid and he's doing what he has to, but God, just switch them. Make Yo heel. He's great at it. He's great at being a little brat. It's fine. But make Sho a babyface.
No, this is Ghetto. Somebody. Like thinking, I'm smarter than all you.
No, Ghetto, you're wrong.
I'm smarter than all of you. I'm going to make Sho the heel. Nope. Okay, whatever. Shingo Takagi defeated Evil for the never heavyweight title, openweight title, sorry. And then Gabe Kidd challenges after the match. And this is where he cut the big promo on Tanahashi, Karen. Or is that the other show? Where he was like complaining about Jack Perry saying being in New Japan was a punishment. And then
I think it was this show. I just kind of, you know, Gabe Kidd does a lot of screaming. And a lot of people like it. I just kind of tune him out.
Right.
I'm like, I get it. He's grumpy, angry, unhinged. That's his shtick within the War Dogs. That's what he wants. I guess they're gonna put him after whatever match he ends up having with Kingston this weekend. The Riot Rules 4-on-4, no DQ tornado tag that they're doing. But I guess
we'll get to that during your preview.
I'm guessing that maybe for Don Taku, because Don Taku is all Bullet Club everything, that's going to be where they're going to have give Gabe Kidd maybe a little showcase against Shingo.
Right. Tetsuya Naito retains his IWGP World Heavyweight title over Yota Tsuji. And who challenges for it next, Chatter? It's John Moxley. Because, you know, getting beat in a legit beat Brazilian jiu-jitsu match by an accountant waiting to pick up his daughter makes you the number one contender for the IWGP World Heavyweight title. Yes, I'm making fun of the fact that John Moxley, the toughest man in AEW, got beat by an accountant. Tony? Let me just get my soapbox. Tony, don't let these guys, especially your big stars, do these outside bullshit things, because honestly, it's not a good look for your fucking company. When you're the guy you promote as the toughest guy in the company, and John Moxley gets beat by an accountant. Okay? Just saying. Yeah, he's a talented, not taking away from that guy's jiu-jitsu skills, but it's not a good look. Just stop letting me. In fact, don't let your talent take outside dates where they're going to get killed, where they're going to get injured. You're going to fire them, and then you're going to rehire them back. Because, oh, he got injured fighting another one of my contract wrestlers I let work on the independents. Why don't you just put them on your fucking television show, dude? Anyways, I don't want to get into this. We'll move on to this. So we're going to talk about Windy City Riot, that's the next big show for New Japan here. Well, not here, but where you are, Karen, in the United States. Sure. And we'll go through. So let's talk about the matches. You're going to run them down, and we're just going to briefly give our thoughts about them before we move on. So okay. What do we got at Windy City Riot, Karen?
All right, so on Friday, April 12th at the Wintrust Arena in Chicago, Illinois, New Japan will have Windy City Riot. I went to Windy City Riot, was it last year? The year before? Either way, it's a good show. The Chicago crowd's always a good time. The pre-show is going to have two matches. One is the Strong Survivor match, which will feature Matt Vandergriff, who's been consistently featured as the Strong Survivor. And he'll be taking on New Japan Academy's Zane J. And then there will be a women's tag match featuring Mina Shirakawa from Stardom, tagging with Viva Van against Trish Adora and Alex Windsor. And then moving on to the main card, in no particular order, the New Japan World TV Championship will be defended by Matt Riddle against one Zack Sabre Jr., the inaugural champion doing champ things. Special singles match between Minoru Suzuki and his former son of Strong Style stablemate, Ren Narita. Pencil in parentheses, probably with evil. New Japan Strong Women's Championship, Stephanie Vaquer from CMLL will be defending against Stardom's Azumi. Strong Openweight Championship four-way tag team match between El Phantasmo and Hikuleo, who are the current champions, against TMDK's Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste, versus Fred Rosser and Tom Lawler, versus the West Coast Wrecking Crew's Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs. There will be a special singles match of Shota Umino against Jack Perry, which all started in Battle of the Valley when Perry attacked him and then went to Japan and joined House of Torture. Then there's also the Riot Rules match with this Team Eddie Kingston versus Team Gabe Kidd, 4-on-4, no DQ tornado tag team match with all entrants being announced at the time of entry. With Gabe Kidd having attacked Shingo Takagi, I was inclined to say that's probably be Eddie Kingston and LIJ. I doubt that's going to happen unless they're going to put these guys somehow on a plane the next morning to Taipei for whatever show they have. And probably Team Gabe Kidd is probably going to be Connors, Drilla, and David Finley, I'm guessing. And then there's the singles special singles match between Hiromu Takahashi and Mustafa Ali. I don't know if it's for the TNA X Division Championship or not, but I believe Ali is the current champion. And then the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Tetsuya Naito, will be defending against Jon Moxley.
So just to break some of these matches down, I think they're going to take the belts off, the tag belts off of Phantasmo and Hikuleo. I think it's very likely they're going to put on TMDK just to give them some belts to have while before they become IWGP Tag Team Champions. As far as Kingston versus Kidd goes, I think Kingston's teammates will be indie wrestlers that they'll bring in. I would think maybe Mike Santana, recently freed from
Rocky Romero. I don't know.
Rocky Romero, maybe. I think it'll be people that at least one of them will have a previous connection with Eddie, and basically anyone who's not contracted can show up would be perfect for teaming with Eddie in this match. And I think Gabe's teammates are going to be War Dogs. So, I think maybe his regular partner, Coughlin, Clark Connors.
Did Coughlin retire?
Did he? I don't, I mean, keep me track.
I think he did recently.
Then David Finley.
Yeah.
Then David Finley will probably be it. And as far as you have said, said earlier,
I forgot Nick Nemeth and Tomohiro Ishii, non-title.
It's okay. No, no one cares about Nick Nemeth in New Japan. Okay. You have said that you think that Jon Moxley will become the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
I think
that's where we're going.
Why do you think that, Karen?
Of the foreign talent that isn't Eddie Kingston, who has consistently been in New Japan or New Japan Strong for a very long time, Jon Moxley has been a constant since his departure from WWE. He's held the American Championship. He's been in the G1. what else is left for John Moxley to do in New Japan besides become a tag team champion with Shota Umino, which I hope they never do. I mean, like, if you're going to keep going to the same well and putting Moxley on all these shows because he's such a big draw when they tour in the United States and probably other international destinations, I feel like that's the move. But I don't know if AEW could sacrifice him for the G1 season, especially after he got sick the last time he was in the G1.
Right. So if he does win the IWGP title, do you think he holds it and builds towards someone taking off of him at Wrestle Kingdom, where it would be in the G1? Like, you could always say, like, for Moxley.
My really wild fantasy booking, there's two routes. Sure. It's either going to be David Finlay, because David Finlay holds that win over him from winning the global championship, or, and I don't know if he could handle being in the main event of the Tokyo Dome, this is where Shota Umino finally graduates from being John Moxley's protege by beating him for the championship.
I think
I like Umino. I just don't think he's ready for it.
No, I don't think he's ready for it. I think it would be a huge mistake at this point in his career to put the World Heavyweight title on him. I'd rather you go with someone more established. If you're going to go with his generation, it has to be Tsuji. Maybe this is Tsuji's path to, like, redeeming his own title.
Put it on Kiyomiya.
No, Kiyomiya is never going to win any belt in New Japan unless it's a tag title. Nakajima, you know, we'll talk about Nakajima because he is no longer the All Japan Triple Crown champion. He is a freelancer. He has not surfaced anywhere as of this recording. My guess is he is going to go to New Japan because I think one of his goals is to have that the trifecta of the major heavyweight titles in Japanese professional wrestling for men. And that would be the JC Heavyweight Champion, which has been. He has been the All Japan Triple Crown Champion. So all he needs is to become IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. I can see them hiring him. I can see him being someone they think, hey, like, you know, he was a little weird over in All Japan because he had more stroke than the company itself. But he won't be like that in New Japan for sure. He will behave himself in New Japan. And he's kind of wrestler that I think they like to push when they get someone of his style, which is like, you know, the shoot style, the kicker, the kind of Shibata-like wrestler. And I mean, and so many fresh matches that you could have with him against anyone, whether it's, you know, rematches with Shingo Takagi, matches with Naito, matches with the younger generation in Shota, Tsuji, Narita, and even like, hey, shit, if Sho becomes a babyface again, he becomes Sho Tanaka, like high voltage Sho Tanaka versus Katsuhiko Nakajima would be fucking awesome.
But whether
or not they would put the belt on him this, like if he joins this year, whether they put the belt on him this year, like I think it's very likely John Moxley would win, but I can also see them just like saying, you know, no, because if John Moxley can't commit to a bigger schedule with AEW, if Tony's not willing to let him go there, I don't see him lasting to Wrestle Kingdom because I don't think you should not have the belt in New Japan. Do you know what I mean? We've
had that discussion before, and when they've put a New Japan belt on John Moxley. And then he had the U.S. belt hostage for quite some time.
I don't think they want their world title hostage, though. Like, that's one thing you put on, like, a secondary belt on him, but to put the main belt on him, I think that's... I don't think they're... I could question the sanity of like, the bookers and the management of New Japan, but I think they're still like, yeah, we've had that happen before. It's not fun when you had, like... Not that I'm saying John Moxley's equivalent to Brock Lesnar, you know?
Yeah.
He literally held that belt hostage, but... The person that, not so much Moxley that would hold the belt hostage, it would be AEW management, particularly Tony Khan likes to say, no, I can't spare you, John, I can't spare you. You can't go to Japan. Hey, kid, like, Tony, I'm fucking advertised. Oh, but I need you for Collision, man. I got this great idea that I'm going to want you to do on Collision. fuck, I already said I'd fucking go over there. Anyways, that's the kind of conversation I can imagine between TK and
that's and why I'm there. Dreading the possibility. Not that I don't want Moxley as champion. I think he's been there long enough that if they were to put another belt on another foreign wrestler, even though they have multiple unforeign wrestlers at the moment, he's done he's served his time, as it were. he's done enough for the company where I could see it being a possibility. But then you do run into the scheduling conflicts of, because whenever New Japan does a tour, they like having that champion as available as possible, especially in all those smaller cities that don't ever really get to see that. Yeah. So it's going to be very complicated and very delicate unless they... I don't think they would want to do a transitional championship run where he gets it, for example, at, say he wins Saturday, but he's not going to be dropping it by June 9th in Dominion. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I don't think they would only give him two, maybe three defenses. Like, but do you hold him in the belt? And, you know, my concern is that, you know, talking about AEW management possibly having sway over the booking should he become champion, you don't want another company holding control over the main event of your biggest show of the year.
That's why I think it's very, you know, it's also, I think it's kind of like 50-50, Karen, that Moxie would win, but also like that Naito would retain this title. I think it's better if Naito retains. John Moxie doesn't need this belt, to be honest with you. He doesn't. He's a big enough star. Like, they love him. They don't need to see the belt on him. Like, if he's like, becomes more like, you know, okay, like, I'm not needed as much over an AEW, I can commit more time to it, then great. I give him a run. I would think that would be awesome. I think fans would love it, but I don't think they need to see it. Like, they will care and love John Moxley in Japan with or without that belt.
I want Tom Lawler back in Japan. So somebody put a belt on Tom Lawler in New Japan, please. A singles championship.
Put the glory. Yeah, I don't know why. You know, like, Tom was at
TV title
the
something.
Show. I didn't say anything to him because
he was great on commentary. Like, I really enjoyed him on commentary, but I wish he would have had a reunion.
Tom in wrestling in New Japan on more regular basis, but outside of the G1, sure, why not? Like, we want to see that. Let's move on. They do have like a big show in Taiwan. Is it correct, Karen? And yes. What's been announced for that show?
All right, so Wrestling World 2024 in Taiwan is actually going to be on Sunday, April 14th at Zepp New Taipei. There will be a singles match against Toyu versus Axe Wang. There will be the Never Six-Man Openweight Tag Team Championship Tournament. It's going to be a one-day tournament, basically four teams. The first round will be Team Hontai / Chaos with Tanahashi, Yano, and Bolton Oleg versus the United Empire's Great Okan, Francesco Akira, and Callum Newman. And then on the opposite side of the bracket, it will be LIJ's Shingo Takagi, Yota Tsuji, and Bushi against Evil Sho and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. There'll be a tag match with Grumpy Old Tiger Mask, my favorite and yours, tagging with Satoshi Kojima against El Desperado and Shoma Kato. Stardom will have a showcase match featuring Starlight Kid against Empress Nexus Venus's Hanako. There will be the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Number One Contenders match between Doki and Kosei Fujita, with the winner challenging Show for the title eventually at some point. IWGP Tag Team Championships, Bishamon will be defending against Sanada and Yuya Uemura. I didn't want it to come to that, but that's where we're at. And then the finals will be the winner of the Hontai / Chaos against United Empire team versus the winner of LIJ versus House of Torture for the new, I don't know if they're new or not, but for the vacant six-man tag championships.
Okay. Well, sounds like a fun-sounding show, and we'll have a report. Are we having a report on this show?
Not that I am aware of. I mean, should I be tapped to do one, I will be willing to do one, but... Well, it is not on my docket for the weekend yet.
Right. Well, maybe after John and Wei listen to this, we'll be knocking on your docket.
Hey, Karen, what are you doing Sunday? Brunch?
There you go. Well, not anymore.
Brunch, like, with a report? Yeah.
Yeah, Wei will be like, yeah, you know, brunch is kind of overrated, Karen. Like, I think we can use a
I can multitask. I can review. Brunch and report at the same time.
There you go. There you go.
It just won't be a very cohesive report, but I can do it.
Speaking of brunch, you know, I did go to Waffle House, by the way, before I came
back. Did you go to Waffle House for brunch or just for a meal at a certain time?
No, I had breakfast at 10 p.m. at Waffle House just outside of Pittsburgh, and with the Fan family, with Rich Fan, Melissa Fan, and their boy Trey. What a lovely child. What a very kind and polite young man that Trey Fan is. Had a wonderful time. I almost got like, so I, you know, you see my Instagram, like you can see what I
loved basically. You pointing at the sign that really got me.
I finished my story. I will say I almost got an authentic Waffle House
experience
because at some point, okay. So two of the waitresses were like beefing. They're like, you got more tickets than me. Fuck you. No, I don't. We were like, oh shit. I think we left just before they were going to drop their gloves and start going at it. But then another, like a customer who seemed a little bit inebriated, like grabbed like a towel, a washcloth, and dropped all the forks on the floor doing it until like getting hot water because he wanted to wipe down his table before sitting. And he's like, I meant no disrespect. Like, but it sounded more like inebriated. So I was like, that's why I say that. And like, I'm sorry. Cause I think they just looked at him. What'd you touch our spoons for, our forks for? Anyways, I thought there was going to be something happen with this customer and the staff, but then I think it's more likely because the two waitresses were kind of really getting into like, oh, by the way, plates were being like dropped really heavily on the counter and like, whoa, shit. Me, I was looking at Rich. I was like, okay, I don't think I'm going to finish these grits. I think I'll just leave those. Not a big fan of grits. I have to say, they're not bad. I don't think I'd ever order them again. Like, but
I mean, Waffle House. You ordered grits from Waffle House. There are plenty of other establishments that do the grit that you may enjoy.
Sure. Okay. Next time I'm at Bob Evans, if they have it, I'll
order. Bob Evans, a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
IHOP, I believe, does a grit. Denny's.
I will say this. Okay. Waffle House in a scale of 5. It's a gentleman's 3. Like, I don't regret going. Would I go again? Yeah. Depends on the company. But you know what I did love, Karen? Fucking what? Bob Evans. Bob Evans was fucking great. You know? What a great restaurant. The only problem with Bob Evans, I asked, hey, can I have some Frank's Red Hot? They didn't have any. How do you not have Frank's Red Hot if you serve breakfast all day? I don't get it. They didn't have Tabasco, and I love me Tabasco, so it was fine.
No Cholula?
Nah, man. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had it, so I can't say. But anyways, before we move on to another company, El Desperado, your man El Desperado, Karen, will produce his own show on June 10th at Corican Hall. There's no announcements until the show itself, I believe. So it's kind of a mystery show, but I think this show will sell out because everyone loves El Desperado.
Yes. I have a feeling that the Despe Invitational is going to be kind of like how Taka Taichi Despe Mania used to be, where it's a little bit of everything. You know, Despe is another one that has like, much like Hiromu, whenever it comes to talking about wrestling and other promotions or wrestlers of other promotions, he'll have banter back and forth with different wrestlers. So, I mean, I could easily see Chris Brooks being there. Of course, Jun Kasai. Who's the other one I'm thinking of? He's in DDT, has long black hair and just like the dark eye makeup, kind of looks like, it's not Daisuke. Oh god, what is his name? I'm sorry, I'm drawing.
I think it is Daisuke something. Yeah, I'm not, sorry folks.
Kenno had a match with him, Kenno lit himself on fire like he does. But you know, that guy.
That guy. That guy's in DDT with the long hair.
Apologies to all the DDT fans out there. I don't watch DDT, but yeah. I know his nickname is Charisma, I think. That's the other thing I think I remember of him.
It doesn't really
matter. Anyway, Despe has a lot of friends and a lot of promotions, so I could easily see it being like the Taka Taichi shows that he has a little bit of something from everybody and maybe some fun and exciting surprises, but I do hope that they stream it, because I really want to watch it. And that's June 10th in Corcoran Hall.
There you go. Let's move on. Some announcements for the All Together show, which will be happening May 6th at Budokan Hall. So there was a president's meeting, Karen. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Sanshiro Takagi, and Naomichi Marufuji held a press conference announcing the date and location of the show, which I said, of course, was May 6th at the Budokan Hall. Also, they said that the UJPW, the United Japan Pro Wrestling, is in full swing this year to combat the WWE Japan invasion. Oh, I made that. I added that part in myself. it will be, they announced the matches. There will be the Presidents versus the House of Torture, Evil, Ren Narita, Yujiro Takahashi. I wonder who's taking the pinfall on that, Yujiro.
Probably. I'm calling them the Hall of Presidents. It's right here at Epcot, at the American Adventures. They have the Hall of Presidents, but I'm like, literally, it's the Hall of Presidents. But I want statues of animatronics of Marufuji, Tanahashi, and Takagi put in Epcot to replace some of the other actual presidents.
I thought you were going to say in your dining room.
I wouldn't say no, but I don't think I could even get cardboard cutouts of them to my house. So no animatronics either.
Shota Umino, Kaito Kiyomiya, Yuki Ueno will take on Yuya Uemura, Konosuke Takeshita, and Shun Skywalker. So like everyone, we got New Japan, Noah, DDT, New Japan, DDT, and Dragon Gate in this match. Pretty cool. Tomohiro Ishii teaming with one of my favorite wrestlers, Daisuke Sekimoto from Big Japan Pro Wrestling. We'll have a beefy tag battle with Jeff Cobb and Masa fucking Kiyomiya. What a fucking big boy beefy match.
What's going on in that match?
You know, I've met Daisuke Sekimoto many times in person, Karen. My favorite would be in Toronto when they had a joint like he was wrestling for, I think, Progress at the time in show in Toronto. I was coming from the bathrooms, which were in the basement. He was going to the bathroom in the basement. He saw I was wearing the t-shirt of the astronauts, Takuya Nomura and Fuminori Abe, who wrestled primarily in Big Japan. So he said, "Why do you have Takuya's shirt?" I go, "I love Takuya. He's awesome." He's like, "You know Takuya?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, I know who you are. You're fucking Daisuke Sekimoto." I said, "Don't you remember? I met you New Year's Eve at fucking Shinkiba, man. You like sold me some of your bullshit water." And I didn't say that part, but and he's like, oh my God, you know who I am. I'm like, "Dude, yes, I love you. You and Okabashi are awesome tag team and you're a great singles wrestler." Anyways, he's a very nice man. Very, very nice man. So if you have a chance to meet Big Dice
someday,
you won't regret it. You, Karen, or anyone else listening to this, should I go, if I see Daisuke Sekimoto in real life, should I go talk to him? Yes.
Absolutely.
He'll be very nice. He'll be happy that you're talking to him. So there you go. So that's a pretty good card. I can't wait to watch this show when it comes out next month. If it does come out. It'll come out.
Have you seen the two matches they've added to it?
What have they added? What have I forgotten, Karen?
They have added a singles match between, my favorite grumpy guy, Kenno, against Kosei Fujita. And then there's a tag match, which is Sonata and Kai from Dragon Gate against Zack Sabre Jr. and Chris Brooks from DDT.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Sonata and Kai. So, they were in All Japan together.
Is that what the link between the two of them are? Okay.
It's Kai and Sonata. Yeah. So it's like Kai, Sonata, Hiroshi Yamamoto, who was like the junior Kai, like the junior ace of All Japan at the time. And Manabu Soya was part of it. So, Manabu Soya and Sonata used to have like this young Lions tag team, and they were like perennial All-Asia tag team champions. And they had a fucking awesome match against Strong BJ, which is a team of the aforementioned Daisuke Sekimoto and his awesome tag team partner, Yuji Okabayashi. So a lot of those matches are on the YouTube channel or Karen, you have access to, you have my login for AJPW.TV.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can.
We don't care passwords.
They're not fucking listening to this. They're not going to want to. They don't want to lose my $10 a month, So it's okay. I don't care if they hear this. They're not listening to this. Let's move on.
To have you give me some homework. for next month.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Sonata, just type it, you know, just look in for Sonata. I mean... like, you can find all your Sonata matches. Right now, Eric Marcotte's like thinking, can I get your login, WH? I can see Young Sonata. Eric, hey, hit me a brother. I might be able to hook you up there. Okay. Big Japan Wrestling. Big Japan Pro Wrestling. Let's move on to there. So I'm very excited about this upcoming Strong title match. So, you know, in Karen, in Big Japan Pro Wrestling, for those of you might, who may not know, New Japan, Big Japan has two styles of wrestling that they promote. One is deathmatch wrestling, and they have deathmatch champions and they have deathmatch tag champions, but also they promote just straight wrestling. It's called their Strong division, and they have the Strong champion. And the current Strong champion is, like, I think, a wrestler you would really like, Karen. His name is Yuya Aoki. He's been on this amazing reign as the Strong champion, and he has an upcoming match against another young man who has been a Strong champion. His name is Daichi Hashimoto. He is the son of Shinya Hashimoto. And so I want to just give some facts of why this is such a big match. So Yuya has already surpassed Daichi's last reign, which had eight. Yuya has eight successful defenses of the Strong title so far in his title reign. Daichi, during his very successful reign, had six successful defenses before losing the title. Yuya is currently tied with former champion Yuji Okabashi, who he beat to win the title. Yuji Okabashi's last reign was 487 days.
Holy smokes.
Okay. And then he's tied currently with the amount of successful defenses he's had with the Strong title with Okabayashi, and needs this win over Daichi to surpass Okabayashi and become the greatest Strong champion in the history of Big Japan's Strong division. So I'm very excited. This will take place at the Endless Survivor Beyond the Milestone show at Yokohama Budokan, not the Buntai, but the Yokohama Budokan. And that's happening on May 4th. And I cannot wait to see this. I have my access through various friends to this, you know, watching matches for Big Japan. So I'm looking forward to it. It will be a big match. You know, Sharon, if I am able to get a link for it, I will send you this match. You don't have to watch any of the deathmatch wrestling. I don't really watch it unless I ever go to a live Big Japan show, which I've done. And, you know, the fine. As long as you don't sit close to the broken glass flying everywhere, it's fine. But I am a big fan of Big Japan's Strong division. It's, you know what, Karen, it's kind of wrestling you and I like.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, imagine a company just full of young lions, but they're all good, but they're all like seasoned, you know, like my boy Takuya Nomura, you know.
You were right about him.
Unfortunately did not get to see live at WrestleMania week. Unfortunately, no. I didn't go to Bloodsport, but. It's okay. I've seen Takuya live many, 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 many times. All right. So finally, let's move on to a company I recently been very excited about, Karen, because that's All Japan Pro Wrestling. I have some notes. Where did these notes? So we're going to first talk about they announced the members of the – oh, you know what? I forgot something. We should talk briefly about the Fortune Dream June 12th show. That's, of course, the shows produced by Kenta Kobashi. So one of the big matches that they signed, Lands End wrestler Sho Daimanji will take on your boy, Pro Wrestling Noah's Go Shiozaki in a hard-hitting match. This guy is pretty big, I think. He wrestles a lot for both
Big Japan Pro Wrestling. Stature-wise or popularity-wise?
Stature-wise. He's a pretty okay. tall wrestler. And Gleet. He does a lot of work for Gleet. As well, they have announced Naruki Doi and Risa Sera versus Sayaka Unagi and Masato Tanaka in a special tag match. And as of this recording, Aaron, I do not know if they've announced any other matches for this, but we'll say no. But that's another show that I'm looking forward to, and that's the June 12th show, Fortune Dream, produced by Kenta Kobashi. But let's move on to
always has a good variety of matches. They're like little dream mini dream cards.
One of the best Fortune Dream shows has Kairi Sane trying to get inspiration from her hero, who is Kenta Kobashi. Her favorite wrestler growing up was Kenta Kobashi. So that's a great scene. And he's like, yeah, you can win. he's trying to, you know, imbue her with fighting spirit. So let's move on. So, excuse me, All Japan Pro Wrestling will have their Champion Carnival run from April 18th to May 12th, and the finals will be happening from the Yokohama Buntai. And it starts off at Korakuen Hall, of course. Every Champions Carnival starts off at Korakuen Hall these days.
It's that season already.
It is.
I feel like we just had the Champions Carnival.
No, like Golden Week's over, and then we're slowly but surely getting to Obon season, Karen.
I know.
But let's talk about these blocks. A block is a pretty loaded block. It has my man Shotaro Oshino. It's got perennial headliner Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, Hokuto Omori, new signee Ren Ayabe. We'll talk a little bit about him in a second. Your favorite jacket wrestler Kurishio, Tokyo Japan, is in this. Cyrus and Davey Boy Smith Jr. So that's, I mean, Ashino, okay. Miyahara, Aoyagi. That's a pretty, just those guys alone are make this like this the stacked block. But B block, nothing to sneeze at. Suwama, Riki Honda, Jun Saito, Rei Saito, the current Triple Crown champion, Yuma Anzai, Hideki Suzuki, Hartley Jackson, and wrestler I'm not familiar with, Lord Crew. So that's that. I'm gonna go out on a limb. I think. Yuma Anzai, we'll talk about his win over Katsuki Nakajima, but I think the finals should involve Yuma Anzai because he's Triple Crown champion, but I don't think he should win. I think it should set up that the Triple Crown champion should not win the Champion Carnival. I would like Shotaro Shino to pull a hat trick and win it this year again. And kind of like Cody Rhodes, finish the story. I think he needs to become Triple Crown champion, like using Yuma to take the belt off of Nakajima was a good idea because now you establish this guy as being like your next big star. But he's still, you know, early in his career. You need the guy that I think they were going to put the belt on last year, but due to injuries, they did not. And that is Shotaro Oshino. And so like my dream, if he's not fighting Yuma in the finals, okay, that's okay. He fights Suwama in the finals or Riki Honda. Both are former tag team partners with Oshino. That's what I would go through. A block finals should be like Oshino. I'm going to say Oshino versus Yuma Aoyagi. I think that would be a good thing for Yuma to have. Also, B block finals, maybe Suwama puts down the young Triple Crown champion Yuma Anzai, or Ryuki Honda does, but either Suwama or Ryuki Honda versus Oshino in the finals. And I hope my man Shotaro Oshino wins the Champion Carnival and then challenges soon after for the Triple Crown. Are you excited, Karen? Are you going to watch some of the Champion Carnival?
I have to budget my time, but I think it finishes before Best of the Super Juniors. So I may need to cherry pick, so I may pick your brain as to which matchups or which days are must watch versus what sure. we can...
I don't think you have to watch the whole thing.
What I can cruise by on.
I don't think you have to watch the whole thing, but pretty much anything, like any Oshino match versus like Kento or Yuma, Omori, Ren Ayabe. We'll talk about Ren Ayabe in a second, but I think all those will be fun to watch. Okay. So let's see. What else can we had Yuma Anzai at the last show, at the last major show for All Japan. He defeated Katsuki Nakajima, who has been acting very strange recently, to win the Triple Crown. He is now the youngest champion in the company history at 24 years old. And now Kenta Miyahara is the second youngest because he won the belt when he was 26. So there you go. Some of the other happenings in the company, you now see that all the major titles in All Japan, Karen, so that means the All Asia Tag titles, the World Tag Team titles, and the World Junior Heavyweight title are all held by All Japan wrestlers. So Anzai is Triple Crown champion. Dan Tamura and I'm drawing a blank. He's the guy who's like Pancras Mission. Anyways, I'll get slandered for forgetting his name. But him and Dan Tamura are the All Asia Tag Team Champions. The Junior Heavyweight Champion is the wrestler I think you should just start following, and that's Rising Hayato. World Tag Team Champions are the Saito Brothers, and Hikaru Sato. Sorry, Hikaru Sato is Dan Tamura's partner in the All Asia Tag Team Championship team. So that's great. That gives me a lot of hope, Karen, that they're going to just like, okay, we're going to focus on our wrestlers. We're not going to send these titles out to outsiders. We're not going to sacrifice our wrestlers, our contract wrestlers, to outsiders. The outsiders should be putting over your guys. And hopefully they might have learned their lesson with Nakajima, who didn't put anyone over in the company, except Anzai, which is a good thing. But one thing, also another great note, I have to mention this, Karen, the Voodoo Murders and Taru. They're like the All Japan version of House of Torture. They're gone. They're not going to be in All Japan anymore. Legit.
Are they leaving the company, or they were just dissolved?
Yeah, because like, no, they can leave the company. Taru just takes the name and they gave it to him and they said, you fuck off and don't come back. So I hate Taru. I hate the Voodoo Murders. The Saito Brothers have said, well, we're not in Voodoo Murders anymore. So there's no reason for the Voodoo Murders to be in All Japan anymore. Yeah, this said Chase Owens no longer being a tag champion in New Japan. Makes me so happy. So yes, Ren Ayabe, he formally joined All Japan Pro Wrestling. So he was someone who started off, I believe, in Just Tap Out. So he's a Taka Michinoku trainee, and he's been wrestling in like other, you know, All Japan, maybe in some other promotions. And then they finally said, hey, why don't you join us? And you know what? I think it's I got my notes mixed up. So it is actually Ren Ayabe. His stats, I'm going to read you his stats, Karen. He is 27 years old. He is 6 feet and 7 inches tall. So that's
good
pretty big.
Good grief.
And he is 242 pounds. He is in his third year as a wrestler. So Yuma Anzai, Ren Ayabe, Saito Brothers. I'll just say this. I'm not a Saito Brothers fan, but they are getting over with the fan base as a tag team. So there you go. Rising Hayato, you know, and then of course your established guys, Kento, Yuma. I feel very strongly that All Japan is going to have a very good 2024 unless the president goes insane and screws it all up. Let's hope it does not happen. Knock on wood. But yeah, like you know, you get all these like really cool things happening in All Japan. A brand I invested a lot of emotional energy into like, please be good, please be good, please don't screw up, please don't screw up. And you know, they don't have to have all like great contract wrestlers, but they bring in like, you know, some really talented freelancers to do some stuff with them. That makes it even better. So anyways, that's it. So we're going to come back in May, and we're going to talk about probably some more Champions Carnival. We're going to talk about John Moxley being or not being the IWGP champion, I'm sure. Yes, Karen, what do you have coming up that the people can look forward to listening to?
All right. On Saturday night, Bruce and I will be recording our review of Windy City Riot and all the fallout that shall be involved therein. I will also be writing a report for Stardom's All-Star Grand Queendom on April 27th, as we mentioned earlier in the show. And that will, as a result, push Dream Slam Monthly from the last Saturday of the month to the Sunday, the 28th. Other than that, coming up in May, I'm going to cover the Hanakamura Memorial Show like I have the last couple of years, and probably more New Japan Stardom in between. other than that, you know, follow me over at postwrestling.com for all your Joji needs.
That's right. Chop Tees. .com, everyone. The Empress got T-shirt over there. You can't get the orchid color anymore, right?
The orchid was a Valentine's Day to Leap Day special edition only. But there is my signature pastel blue, which is my favorite color, is readily available. And of course, for those who love a good black t-shirt, sorry, navy is the closest you're going to get. And
I like navy.
Yeah, navy looks good on a lot of people.
Listen, John Cena was sporting the Empress shirt all over fucking WrestleMania weekend.
He's very proud of
that. He did. I saw it, and he loves that shirt. But
and then I for those who don't understand why I was very against dark colored shirts is that I live in Florida, so if you wear anything darker than like a medium royal blue or a dark red, you start sweating a lot. So that's why I went with pastel, navy, and white. So
there you go. I wore black.
The girl, maybe I can actually come to a post meetup at some point.
Yeah, no. What? Us going to Florida?
I mean, y'all. I mean, I have space in my house if y'all want to come over here. You don't have to stay at a murder hotel.
Hey, you know what? The members of the Post Wrestling Universe might take you up on that. But I do have my own merchandise, of course, at choptees.com. That includes, of course, because the Post Perez, the Wave T-shirt designed by Robert Pearson. That's up there. You can get that as a T-shirt. You can get that as a hoodie. I believe also as a zip hoodie. I have to refresh my memory, but if not, then get the pullover. Long and Winding Road. It's all there. T-shirts, hoodies. The Five Pillars is not available as a zip hoodie, but the Four Pillars one is. And of course, MCU Later, which I recorded last night. We talked about X-Men 97, Rich Fan, Will Cooling, and Scrump. We had a fantastic conversation about a fantastic episode of X-Men 97. I'm looking forward to next week's episode and talking with Rich and our guest, whoever that might be, on that show. But that's all on the cafe. So you do have to sign up for the Post Wrestling Patreon, patreon.com/postwrestling. Go look for it. And I'm going to be recording a new episode of The Long and Winding Railroad, Karen, with your man, Neil Flanagan.
Yay!
And so that will be dropping sometime before the end of April. Look out for that. And then, I'll be back next month with Karen. Check out the Patreon, the Post Wrestling Cafe for MCU Later every week. And then once we're done X-Men 97, we're going to straight into the X-Men movies leading up to the release of Deadpool Wolverine here in Toronto. We're going to have fucking Rich Fan show up. His family, Melissa, one of your big fans, Karen, is Melissa Fan.
I love me some Melissa Fan. I'm a big fan of Melissa Fan.
Trey probably coming. John Cena might be coming. Scrump might be coming. We're all going to watch fucking X-Men, fucking Deadpool Wolverine together. It's going to be amazing. But I'm not saying where we're going to watch it because I don't want people like talking to us during the movie. I hate that. I can't abide by that.
Yeah, no.
But anyways, Karen, thank you so much for your time again. As always, appreciate you. And hey, everyone, we're going to have some big fucking content at Post Wrestling from myself, from Karen, from Pollock and Thurston. From my man waiting, of course, Brayden Davey, maybe Neil Flanagan. I mean, he's doing the wellness policy with Jordan Goodman and Way. Everyone, Bruce, big Bruce Lard. Everyone, we're having a fun time here at Post Wrestling. Great time to jump up for the Patreon or just tune into the YouTube. Okay, those boys are putting out content almost every freaking day. But anyways, Karen, thank you. The listeners, viewers on YouTube, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. And tune in next month for Karen and I as we break down everything happening in the world of ProRes. And until next time, I will say goodbye.